Do I have faith? Like,
radio.
It's all these.
I'm a dreamer, for the things I feel and see, or that nothing can be accomplished from the things I wish to be. Tell me not that I'm fanatic, for the things I feel inside, they are flowers of oppression, born of pain I cannot hide. Do not look upon my actions as the acts of one insane, when I take up modern weapons to avenge my father's name. Let your eyes scan all the ghettos through the books of history. Then you'll understand this feeling and just how it came to be. Sure, I must admit I'm bitter for the precious blood I've bled and for the years of cruel oppression that you've heaped upon my head. For the rape of my grandmother and the mulattoes that you have left. For the many, 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 many years of slavery with his legacy of death. Tell me not that I'm a dreamer. Oh no, it's you that cannot see. I'm just another victim of a cruel reality. What manner of man is this I ask, who roams the seven seas, who graces the skies of birds of dawn and wanders where he please, who walks into another's home and takes his property, then slays the man, his wife and child, in the name of liberty? What manner of beast is this, I ask, who drops the napalm from the skies, then send my sons away to war, to maim and kill and die? What manner of man is this, I ask, who arrogantly displays his might? What manner of man is this, my friend? Needless to say, he's white. So take your hands off of me, white folks. I've done you no wrong. I'm only guilty of making you strong. I've built all of your cities, and I've worked in your mines. I've fought to protect you many a time. It was I who taught you what it is to be brave. I had great civilizations when you lived in caves. I taught you what soap was when you dyed yourselves blue. I taught you planting and harvesting too. I showed you what clothes were to cover your backs when you were in wolf skins and running in packs. When you knew nothing of the barrier of sound, it was I who taught you that this planet was round. In Palermo, Sicily, and Italy, and Spain, I left monuments of my grandeur and fame. And during your dark ages, when your people were blind, I built universities to enlighten your kind. When your homeland was weak and your people were poor, it was I who brought you to America's shore. While you did not even know how to survive, I showed you medicine to keep you alive. How earnest you seemed, how well you did learn, how vile the reward I received in return. But time is on my side. I'm sure you must know that the day will arrive when you'll reap what you sow. For I gave you religion, and you know it's a fact that the Christ and the Buddha and Muhammad were black. I taught you to dance, and I taught you to sing. You repaid me with treachery, with slavery, and chains. So don't touch me, whitey, and don't look surprised. No, I'm no longer fooled by your tricks and your lies. I'm aware of your game and of your history. And I'm aware of the Judas that you have been to me. So watch out for me, white folks. It's a matter of time. I'll soon be together. Then vengeance is mine.
Hi, Shalom, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Swirl Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba. I'm a teacher with the ISBHPK, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. I would like to welcome you all to our what we call our daily bread or our morning morsel. Okay, sorry about that. Again, I'd like to welcome you out to our show. It's supposed to be our Bible class is going on today. or this morning. I'm trying to go ahead and send the notice out that we're definitely getting class started. So if you'd like to please give me just a few minutes. And if you'd like to please let everybody else know, send a message out that class is definitely getting started. That would be appreciated right now as I get this going. Okay, let me see here. You know what, everybody? I'm going to put the music on one more time. I guess it's just normal that I'm just going to always just be behind. I'm going to play the music, and as I send this message out, we'll come back and get started. All right. Give me 2 minutes.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me.
Uh-huh.
Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but what was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples I can still grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Shelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth. Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Soldiers the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The currents, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets so my creator can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked that you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting there. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Slum King, what's good? Lucky you, you're about to get off. I gotta stay, they got me working. I know. Yeah, we supposed to go to ISUPK's cookout tomorrow after the Sabbath, man, but I gotta work. I tell you what, man, I'm on the other side. Come over here real quick, let me holler at you and let you know what's going on. Alright, peace.
Man, I'm sick and tired of these damn chains, man. Job is like an albatross around my neck.
Yeah, tell me about it, King. So what we gonna do, man? We gonna call off. We gotta come up with a plan or something.
Man, listen, man. This is like prison. I'm about to escape. I'm gonna use my escape plan to get the hell out of the job tomorrow. I'll see you there.
All right. Hey, look, man. That's what we gonna do, man. We out, right?
Feel in a way that you're not really acting up there.
No, I'm not acting at all. I'm real. I may have a little music in the background, but everything that I do, I look at as being real.
You know, I first came here some 400 long years ago.
Yeah.
I came as a first class passenger.
Yeah.
On a cold, nasty, muddy, wet prison of death. A slave ship.
From where the hatred came, it won't erase the pain, it'll only stagnate the change. Now I ain't saying Whitey ain't gonna pay for his crimes committed by the man designed the wicked to be wicked with divine intervention. But let's deal with the facts on how we ended up in them chains, breaking God's laws, thrown on ships in deplorable conditions. What a horrible vision to have the vision, a slave then, a slave now, instead of ships that got us packed in prison. All from ratchet living, self-hatred, lack of knowledge. Knowledge you won't find from master's degrees and master's college. Master don't love you, master don't love his own, unless it's 33rd and a third degree of the sullen bones. Then you just a nigga with some pale hue, twice a loser, your heaven but catching hell too. The hell with you is God's chosen over everything. Give us life, Hebrew Israelites, together let us sing.
Change. Gotta break away from these chains.
Change.
Handshakes and policy. Y'all follow me? It's all idolatry in this land where we're swearing the pledge of allegiance and everything is beautiful except for our features. Blacks and Puerto Ricans got conquered by the heathens and sold to the Grecians. Paul wrote to the Ephesians. The fourth is wartime. That's the reality. It's time to get back to that ruling class mentality. And my mentality is scripture orientated. I'm destined to keep the laws. That's why I was created. It'll lengthen your lifespan. Avoid any chips that's implanted in right hand. I never trusted this bastard. He did away with chains and enslaved us to mass debt. I pray Yahweh shall deliver me, cause all I see, all my people, is pure misery.
Gotta break away from these chains.
Prophesied to the children of Israel that slavery would come. My behavior gave us these crumbs off the master's table. We were fed the abomination.
priest Daniel Allah and Ashyasha Allah, L-O-I-E-O-I connection.
All right, Shalom, good morning. Again, thank you everybody for waiting. As I'm seeing everybody starting to call in, thank you for your patience and joining us this morning. Real quick, somebody give me Acts 14:21 as I try and get this day started.
Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
Yeah, I have to expand on this.
What it's talking about here is that what the disciples were doing at this time is they were going out and they were teaching abroad. But then it still came back to them going, they didn't just stay centrally localized in one place, but they always had a place that they referred back to. So you continue to make sure that the word was put out.
Read again.
Yes. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith.
So now we know that from Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, things written aforetime written for our learning. It also tells in Ecclesiastes that there's nothing new under the sun, that there's nothing that we're going through that others haven't already gone through. And again, that's why we're exhorted to seek out Isaiah 34:16 and seek out the book of the Lord and to read, and that none of the prophecies that were ever given in the Bible have failed or are going to fail. So that if we have a comprehension of that, and I know I'm speaking kind of fast, So let me slow down just a tad bit, so I'm not wasting my time talking. If things written aforetime were written for our learning, then we got to understand that all the scriptures that are in the book is written for our learning. It's written for the learning of Hebrew Israelites, not Hebrew Americans, not Americans, period, but for Hebrew Israelites. That the things written in the Bible were written for our learning. We know from Amos chapter 3 and verse 7 that the things, the Most High reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. That for the ones who want to serve him the way he wants to be served. When we come back and we reference John chapter 4 verse 24, that God's a spirit, and those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that these are the ones, give me that real quick, John 4, 24, quickly please, quickly.
John. St. John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Read.
Verse 25. The woman said.
Then verse 23 then.
Okay. Verse 23.
What? We're in St. John chapter 4 verse 23 right now. St. John chapter 4 verse 23 is where we're at right now. Read.
But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
All right, so it says that the hour is coming, that God's looking for those that can worship him in spirit and in truth. That's who God's looking for. All right, who's going to worship God the way God wants to be worshipped? And again, from Amos chapter 3, verse 7, we know that the Most High reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Somebody give me Baruch chapter 4, verse 4 real quick. And again, I know I'm going kind of fast right now, only because I feel like I'm behind the gun, always late. And the way these things are just working out, it seems like there's everything trying to disrupt the word of God from going out. That everything's trying to distract, disrupt, and everything else is becoming a priority instead of the word of the Most High being put out to help his people, to refresh his people, to keep us going. All right? But from the scripture I just quoted, I know I'm going too fast, and I'm probably wasting my time doing this. Things written aforetime from Romans 15 and 4. Things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. We as Hebrew Israelites have to realize that we've been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We have to realize that we've been given the secrets of how to please God as Hebrew Israelites. But one thing we have to do is we have to keep seeking from Isaiah 34 and 16. We have to keep seeking out of the book of the Lord, and we have to keep reading. That none of the prophecies that God has ever given have failed us or are going to fail us. But we have to realize that there's a lot of distractions and there's a lot of things trying to prevent us from keeping our minds on the prophecies, from keeping our mind in the Word, so that we're equipped to handle the trials, the tribulations, the challenges that we're faced with on a daily basis, especially as we come to the last days of Babylon the Great, as we come to the last days of spiritual Egypt, that there's going to be that much more distractions, that much more pulls, that much more obstacles that we as Hebrew Israelites are going to be facing in these last days, from our finances being attacked, from just our level of comfort being attacked, from relationships being strained. We've got to come back and realize that these are some of the battles and some of the spiritual battles that we have to fight. Many of us, because of the media, if I can say it like this, we're really under the impression or the thought process that the war that we're fighting or have to fight, we've really got this thing in our mind that it's going to be a straight up all out civil war. That 16-year-old boy can't find all his own scriptures?
I was just curious about it. I'm all the way over here.
Oh, this it's actually in some different books in here. Because 16:11, I'm still trying to get used to.
Okay. Wow. I'm sorry with that. That made me lose my train of thought.
All right,
what was I talking about?
I was talking about with the media and everything that's going on right now.
Right. Forgive me. Oh, damn. We, a lot of us are under the impression that it's going to be like a civil war, like the American Civil War. And we think that this final battle that we're going to be facing is going to be straight weapons versus weapons. We think it's going to be gun.
We got the biggest gun. We got the most technology.
Go ahead.
It's going to be like, what is it? We think it's going to be like, when it comes to this, we're thinking more of like, we're thinking about weapons, physical weapons to attack each other. Not in an aspect of the spiritual, the mental attacks that have been going on for forever. Against our people, you don't have to sit there and shoot somebody to wound them, especially when they're coming back. They're supposed to be coming back to a knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of their Creator and the Heavenly Father. All you have to do is distract the mind, make them forget what time it is, and make them lose focus. And when the Most High does send Christ, His people are caught off guard and unaware. That's the warfare that we are really going into, but we keep thinking it's going to be where we're going to get tanks and fighter planes and jets and surface-to-air missiles and Scuds and all this other stuff, but that's not the type of warfare that it's talking about. It's talking about just being unaware to the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that the Heavenly Father has left us to gather us together in a banner or in a group of people to come back to Him and serve Him the right way.
Right. So we because of movies like Avengers, Infinity War, we think it's going to be this great evil of Thanos in a physical war against those that do good. So we got to match technology for technology, weapon for weapon. And one thing that we as Hebrew Israelites forget is that, remember, Esau was blessed with the sword. When Isaac was blessed, Jacob and Esau, Jacob received the blessing of the covenant. But Esau, or the nation of Edom, received the blessing of weapons, of the sword. And that's how it was said that that's how they're going to run the world. When it was Esau's time to rule the world, that they would rule the world because they were blessed with the sword, or through their weapons technology, or through their military technology. And that's going to all the way back to from the Greeks to the Romans to modern day Caucasian society. They've ruled the world through their weaponry. When they conquered the West with the Gatling gun, as far as the West of America, that it was through the Gatling gun that that was accomplished. From the World War One, through the Vietnam conflict, through Desert Storm, through Afghanistan, we're seeing that it's been through their warfare. They're collecting of bigger and bigger missiles, bigger and bigger germ warfare, or what have you. That's how they've conquered and ruled and dealt with society. But if we were studying, we would realize, remember, that was the blessing that was given. That's how he would rule, through very carnal means, through his weapons. That he would get bigger and bigger weapons, more destructive weapons, and that's how he would rule. But Esau is the epitome of carnality. When I say carnality, I mean he's the epitome of catering to the senses and from what you can see. Israelites, though, are not given that warfare. We're not given those weapons for our war. The weapons we've been given has been the words of the Most High. That if we apply the words of the Most High, that's the most powerful thing in the universe. If we go back, for many people who have studied, you know that, and again, it is true. It says Abraham believed and was counted to him for righteousness. What is it that Abraham believed? It was the words of the Most High that he believed. And that was counted to him for righteousness. And yeah, we know Abraham did have 300 trained soldiers among his servants. I'm not denying that fact. But is that the Most High was with us. Because how many times you read in the history of Israel that we would go to war, and in going to war, it would be... We'd be outnumbered severely. Those things were given to us, written for our learning, to understand it's not about, because I can see how many people we got. I can see what kind of weapons we got, and that we're going to match. How does that make sense? That we're going to match Esau with weapons when he was blessed with weapons. Just think about that even for a second also. If you're going to fight somebody, why would they give you the same tools that they're using to defeat themselves?
That way it's fair.
As if they're going to give you, they want to make it fair for you, so they're going to give you the same technology or whatever that they're using.
You can't say we weren't fair.
The code to warfare is, you're underprivileged country? You know what? I'm going to give you some of my expensive missiles that you can't afford just so we can be on an equal playing field.
Right. So you can fire them back at us.
And
right.
You might be able to, just so you might win, but
God.
So that's fair. So that our belief that we can get as many weapons to be our protection, that we can get, that we're going to match them with guerrilla warfare, that we're going to, with images like the movies like Red Dawn, images like the movie of Cyborg or any type of post-apocalyptic movie or media that's been put out there, we really got this thing in our mind that weapons are going to save us, and not the word of the Most High. And not by us obeying and doing the word of the Most High. So we got this false sense of security and this false dependency on the white man that we're going to fight this war the same way white people would. And that for some whatever reason, that's given to us as wisdom. But the question I like to pose then, if that is the answer, then when the Most High says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with him, what does that mean then? So if it's about collecting weapons, how is that the wisdom of the Most High? And I know where somebody's silly mind is going to go. I ain't going to say silly. I know where a person's uneducated mind is going to go. Christ did get a sword. True? And if you were studying, you know that that was when Christ was protesting, not one that had to go through the torture and the crucifixion that he was under. Because as soon as Peter pulled the sword, what did Christ tell him to do? When Peter pulled the sword, cut off the servant's ear, what was Christ's new instructions, if we're going to go like that then? Put the sword down. Those who live by the sword are going to die by the sword. So, again, we've got this false sense of security or safety, whatever, and as Hebrew Israelites, that's ridiculous. As Hebrew Israelites, we've been given what we need of how to please the Most High so that we might be safe, that we might be taken care of. So I know we're jumping in several different scriptures right now that in a tangent that I really didn't want to go into, but we're here. It says, things written aforetime were written for our learning. That's Romans chapter 15, verse 4, though, for those who might be keeping along. Then he tells us Isaiah 34, 16, to seek out the book of the Lord and to read, and that not one of these shall fail, that none of the prophecies that God gave to Hebrew Israelites have failed or are going to fail, and that we need to base our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding based on the prophecies of the Most High and not on something that the white man gave us, not on a false lie that the white man has given us. And then it tells us that the Most High is looking for those who are going to worship him the way he wants to be worshipped. That's St. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Are we doing things the way the Most High wants things done? Are we still going about this from what the white man has put in your mind about what worship is? Well, what the white man has put in your mind as far as what your safety is going to be? Or are we actually coming back as Hebrew Israelites and doing those things that please the Most High? We also had Amos chapter 3, verse 7, which told us that the Most High reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. And again, a prophet is somebody who what? Is dealing with future events. And that the Most High's secrets about future events, he only gives those to his prophets. And that's not through dreams, but through the scriptures. That the scriptures are to let us know what's going to be taking place. Now, what we're going through and what's happening, so we might be able to maneuver through things properly according to what pleases God and not what pleases ourselves or what pleases society or what pleases the so-called white man. Now, from there, Baruch chapter 4, verse 4.
Baruch chapter 4, verse 4. O Israel, happy are we, for things that are pleasing to God are made known unto us.
Now, if we can read that one more time.
O Israel, happy.
Where are we at?
Baruch chapter 4, verse 4.
And for those who don't know, Baruch is in the Apocrypha. Right? And we know the Apocrypha is 14 books that the Roman Catholic Church had taken out of the King James Bible when the King James Bible was first translated. And the reason it was separated is because these books were found in Greek. Right? These books were found in Greek. They weren't translated from the Hebrew. They were translated from the Greek. And that's why it's called the Apocrypha. But it's actually part of the Bible that was actually translated. The Hebrew and Greek scriptures that were actually translated during the time of King James. So when the book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 4, we can read that one more time, please, and tell everybody where you're at.
Baruch chapter 4, verse 4. O Israel, happy are we.
It says, first off, O who?
O Israel.
Did it say O Baptist?
O Israel.
Did it say O Methodist?
O Israel.
O Masonics.
O Israel.
O NRA member.
O Israel.
O Alpha.
O Israel.
Lambda.
O Israel.
The Q Dogs.
O Israel.
It said, happy are we, O Israel. Read.
For things that are pleasing to God are made known unto us.
Because the Most High reveals what pleases him to who?
Us. O Israel.
To Israel. Things that are pleasing to God is made known to Israel, not anybody else. So then if we're Hebrew Israelites, then wouldn't it make sense then that we as Hebrew Israelites are finding those things that please God and that please ourselves, that please society, that please whatever. From there, give me Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
So I'm going to try and put these two things together. Hopefully I can make the bridge and connection. Baruch chapter 4, verse 4 told us what?
Again.
Ruth chapter 4 and verse 4.
Oh, she's got it.
O Israel, happy are we, for the things that are pleasing to God are made known unto us.
It says, things that are pleasing to who?
God.
Are what?
Are made known unto us.
So if we understand what they're saying, we should be happy as Israelites because things that please God is made known to us. Now, if it's being made known to us how to please God, and we do those things that please God, what does Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 tell us?
Proverbs 16 and 7. When a man's ways please the Lord.
When a man's ways do what?
Please the Lord.
So just like it said in Baruch, the keyword, I guess, we're working with the keyword pleasing. So when our ways please the Lord, but who's the only people the Most High is going to reveal how to please him?
Oh, Israel.
The Israelites. And even then, it's only going to be those that he awakens. It's only going to be those that he gives his knowledge to. So when our ways please the Lord, and now we know how to please the Lord, because things written aforetime were written for our learning. So seek out the book of the Lord and read, so we can learn what pleases God. Especially in these last days, because the way of pleasing God has been removed from us. The fact that a lot of us don't even know that we're Israelites lets you know we never knew how to please God. The fact that we've been raised up and we call ourselves by a religion lets you know that we don't know how to please God. The fact that we put our safety, our security in a job, in guns, in martial arts, in guerrilla warfare, in a relationship, let you know we have not known how to please God. We have not known that the standard we use for what a man is, because I got a job, I'm a good man. Tell me that's not the mindset of a slave. If we look among the nations on the earth, what other people measure a man by the job he works? You don't find it. I'm a man because of the job I got. He's a good man, girl. He got a good job. Why she left me? Don't you see the job I got and how much money I make? That we're the only people that a measure of a man is given by what job he works. Not his wisdom on what it takes to please God. Not his wisdom on what it takes to undergo and do those things that please the Father. Or what it takes to actually please God. We're not measured by that. We still measure ourselves by the American standard. I'm a good man. What makes you a good man? I pay my taxes. Really? Where's that in the scriptures? I'm a taxpayer. I got good credit. Really? That's what God said makes you a good man? I don't cuss. I don't listen to rap music. And that's why I'm a good man. Really? Where is that in the scriptures? What makes a good man? According to the Father. As much as it's kind of humorous, I guess, or I should say more ironic, if I could bring this out in this way. A lot of people have turned to so-called black religions, Islam, Buddha, Kwanzaa, Egyptology, whatever, because the Bible's supposed to be the white man's book. Because in the occupation of our people and the oppressive slavery that we've been under here in America, from when we first came on our slave ships or the first white man came over as the Spaniards, and by his philosophy, they gave us scriptures like servants obey your masters. That is written in the New Testament. not only giving us those scriptures as far as servants obey your masters, obey them and have the rule over you, and really stressing those points. They also stress the points of if a man don't work, he don't eat. They also stress the points of if a man don't take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel. But never was it about are you doing those things that please God. So with the white man stressing a few of those scriptures, a lot of us have rejected the Bible because it's the white man's book. It's the white man's religion. He wrote the Bible. And they were able to find a few scriptures and make their sermons long as hell to justify their oppression. But at the same time, you know, they would never come to show the color of Christ or the apostles or the disciples. They would never bring those things out. But as far as servants obey your masters, yes. Obey them, have the rule over you, yes. If a man don't work, he don't eat. If a man don't take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel. So you better make sure you go out here and work and take care of your family. What kind of man are you? So we've had these precepts misconstrued coming out of the Bible. Because when you go back and even read, we're not going to do it right now, about being worse than an infidel, the whole chapter starts with talking about a woman, a young widow, a young woman who doesn't know how to take care of her family. That's what the whole chapter is talking about. And we're going to read it in context. Being a woman who goes from house to house, a busybody, a gossiper, and being a young woman, her eyes are turned towards not wanting to please God or please the Most High, but serving her own fleshly carnal values. It talks about that the young women are supposed to be raised up, learn how to guide a house, love their children. That's what the whole chapter is talking about. Then that one verse says, puts the pronoun man, and all of a sudden that's the only scripture that's used. If a man don't take care of his house, he's worse than infidel. But again, we're not ever going to look at or consider Christ said, if you're going to be my disciple, whoever does not forsake his family, his wife, his kids, his mother, his father, yeah, even his own life, for my sake in the Gospels, can I be my disciple? That's never looked at. It's like, well, if I don't do this and make sure my family's taken care of, then I'm worse than infidel. Okay. That there's a lot of cleansing that has to take place. There's a lot of spiritual cleansing. And it's funny how the word brainwashing has been used to be a negative or something bad. You mean brainwashed. Let's examine the word brainwashed. If something's dirty, it's funny how they'll say, even though it's out of scripture, cleanliness is next to what?
Godliness.
Right.
Cleanliness is next to godliness, but to have your brain washed is bad.
You wash something, you're making it clean.
Right, you wash something, you're making it clean.
You wash the dishes, you're cleaning them.
John 17:17 says what? Sanctify them through thy truth.
Clean them.
Clean them with the truth.
God.
You're supposed to get your mind and your spirit clean. And we know a synonym for cleanliness is what? Baptism. A synonym for washing is what? Baptize. But now to get your mind cleaned up from what you've learned in society, what's been put upon our people for generations. If you're a so-called Native American or Aboriginal of the Americas, Columbus then got here over 500 years ago. So you had 500 years of having your mind dirty by the so-called white man and his philosophy, his education, his way of looking at things. Come back now 400 years, 1619, You got them bringing us over our slave ships. So we've had all this time of being indoctrinated with the Caucasians' way of looking at things, their value systems, their moral codes, their ethics. Why would we not want to be cleaned up? Why would I not want my brain washed from the lies that we've been given? If we come back and look at it, it really doesn't make sense not to think another way. But to come back and understand about, okay, I got to get my spirit clean. I got to get my mind clean. Give me real quick, let everything else go. Was that Jeremiah 17 and 3?
On my mountain, or do you want... We want the one that talks about he should be like a desert.
17 to 4.
Just continue.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4. You got it.
God. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 4. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not.
So, I mean, if things were in the fourth time before our learning, it's telling us as Hebrew Israelites what has happened. Do we read again?
Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 4.
Do I be jumping so much that I'm hard to keep up with? Okay, just checking.
Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 4. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger which shall burn forever.
Somebody explain real quick. Answer this text.
Got it. Well, right here, what it's saying is that we're going to be separated from our heritage. But now, why are we separated from our heritage? Because we kindled the Most High to anger. How did we kindle Him to anger? Because we kindled Him to anger when we started following other things instead of sticking to the words that He left us in this book.
So say it one more time. My mind's distracted. I want to make sure I'm hearing what you're saying.
Yeah.
So slow down a little bit.
Okay. Well. It's right here telling us that we've been cut off and disconnected from our heritage that was promised to us. But now, why is that? Because we've stopped following the words that He left us in His book that were His knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, which brought us together to serve the Most High the correct way. Now, we're so caught up into, like we talked about a couple of days ago, we're more concerned about my favorite TV show getting canceled, and now I'm never going to get to find out what happened in season 3, or we're more concerned about, shit, I gotta go pay this bill, they don't cut the lights off in my house, or I got a birthday party I got to get to, or even, shit, I got to keep this job, because if I ain't got this job, I can't take care of my family. Those things, because we got caught up into those things, that has cut us off from our heritage, which was the true strength that we had as Israelites, which was the Most High. Being able to go to this book and stick to the words that He left us that we were supposed to have that strong confidence in. You know, saying that this was going to be our strength. To understand that this was our protection for all the things that we would come up against and go through because we believed in the Heavenly Father's word, like I said, like Abraham did. That would count to us as righteousness. But instead of continuing to go down that path, every other thing became more important. You know what I'm saying? We went over it in the class last week as well, where it became about it's not about serving the Most High. It's about the car I drive. It's not about serving the Most High. It's about the standard that this society now considers that I have to live up to, instead of living up to the standard that the Most High had already set for us to be. He was going to be our God, and we were going to be His people. Period. Point blank. But those are the things that have cut us off from the heritage that was promised to us, from knowing who we are according to the scriptures, that we were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We were the descendants that the covenant was passed down to from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and now to us, to be able to know, to be able to get the blessing now of coming back and understanding who we are as a people, not being the hip hop nation, not being
the Zulu nation,
you know, not being people who believe in 5% of everything,
who being kings and queens and princes.
God,
crap.
That was what was cut. Not sticking to the scriptures was what caused us to lose the connection to our heritage.
God.
Just like you were talking about earlier, the Bible is a white man's book. Really? Have you ever sat down, like I said, in Isaiah 34:16, and you seek out the book of the Lord and read? If you go back and you stick to the scriptures like a simple commandment was given to us, and you read, you start to see if we go from the things that were told that we're going to be able to be the identifying factors for God's people and look at that in today's society to find out who we are, it should have sent the light bulb off. You know what I'm saying? And now, okay, now I know who I am. You know what? Let me come back and start being in order with the Heavenly Father. But that don't happen. We're more concerned with claws and black medicine or the new version of The Black Apprentice, which is a T.I. show, or what, that kind of nonsense. Do you have anything to add, Ahmad?
We forgot who we were supposed to depend on. We forgot who our power, who our strength was. We forgot what made us a great nation in the first place, what made us such a superior people. We forgot who put us above, who said he was going to put us above. We forgot. We forgot where our strength was. So because we started believing as a nation, as a people, as God's people, we start believing that we didn't need him no more. We start believing that we could do it ourselves. Or we could break away off on our own or be independent from him and do it ourselves. And that upset him. That made him jealous. It reminds me of the scripture we went to the other day, Exodus 20:5, and where it talks about he's a jealous power. We moved him to jealousy because all of a sudden we didn't need him anymore. We forgot what he did for us. We forgot that he made us a great nation in the first place, and we didn't need him anymore. So that made him upset. That made him jealous. So he's like, you know what? Y'all think y'all can do it without me? Fine. Then y'all don't need me no more. We'll see what your end shall be. Let's see what happens now. And this is what happened. He cut us off. So what happened next? The nations took over us. The middle of chapter 17, verse 4, where we're at. Thou will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. How did that happen? Because we stopped depending on the Most High. We forgot that he was our strength, that he was our power. And we thought that we could do it without him. But he showed us eventually, as time went on, that, you know, because we were conquered and enslaved and put in captivity, no. Obviously, you couldn't do it by yourself. Or how did you end up in this position? How'd you end up underneath? How'd you end up in captivity? How'd you end up in servitude? If you had it all figured out, then how did you end up in this predicament? So we obviously didn't have it figured out.
And we put our confidence, instead of putting it in the Most High's word that he left for us, like the scripture says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence.
Mm-hmm.
We started becoming confident after having the Most High turn his back on us. We had to find, as people start finding all the wrong things to become confident in, such as I'm confident in my ability to put a ball in a hoop. I'm confident that I can juke everybody on the field and run this 100-yard touchdown. I can run this kick return back. I'm confident in me being the fastest thing on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm confident that I'm the biggest man in the gym. I'm confident that if I have the biggest house and I have the fanciest car, I'm successful. Those things became our confidence instead of the words that the Heavenly Father had given to his people, which were supposed to be the confidence.
Right.
And honestly, that has kind of been the, I don't want to say the thing, but that has been some of the points that the classes we've had in the recent week have been touching on, because we stopped we got more confident in our own abilities instead of what sticking to the words of the Most High? What caused him to turn his back on us? That, and instead of sticking to his words. So now, that also being proud and having that overly high opinion of that self-worth of us, did what? It cut us off from being our heritage. So now, while the Most High is not dealing with us that way, all this other stuff has to happen to us. So now, as I'm going through these, what am I calling? I guess I would call them growing pains for trying to get ahead of ourselves. We had to find something to instill that confidence in us again. But it was obviously the wrong thing instead of going back to the Heavenly Father. Because even when you go back and you read the scriptures, every time God's people came back to worship the Heavenly Father the correct way, what did he always do?
Sent us a Savior and put us back, you know, took us out of captivity.
Done.
And that's what we got to do this time, no different than any other time throughout our history. Great point.
With that, with the time we have remaining, pull up the baptism class. Let's go over that. And again, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. You know, the scripture says, man's going is of the Lord. How then can man understand his own way? You know, we used to have 3-hour blog talk classes. But because of finances, which has been going on for years, that the blog talk didn't matter. We're down to only being able to afford paying for an hour and a half, which was a great thing in the eyes of the Father. And that we had to get in and get out. Right, it's almost like seemed like that's been the plan of people for this not to happen. But I'm glad we were able to get this done. But we only have a few minutes left, really, about 30 minutes. No, about an hour. But what time is it right now?
It's 9:58. It's almost 10. We have a half hour. We have about a half hour.
Oh, man, I messed up. I said this for 2 hours.
9:58. Oh,
so. But we'll end it. Everybody's got to get to work and everything, so it's understandable. But we're about to hit this baptism class. Where y'all at?
I'm looking for the baptism class now. I know I have it. Focus, temptation, diligence, yourself. I got to organize my classes in alphabetical order.
With my vision getting worse and worse, and not being able to go to the VA to get it done, I didn't qualify for the eye benefits. It's hard for me to read. From all the notes I've ever written down over the years, it really is hard for me to read the class right now. So I'm asking for the brothers to pull up the baptism class that should have the scriptures in order. So we can go ahead and get into them, go over them. And we might be able to get some understanding about it, as one of the last things we were referring to is that we've been polluted. We've been dirty. Like, give me Isaiah 47 real quick. Well, you keep looking for the baptism class. Yeshua, you can give me Isaiah chapter 47, and I believe it's verse 6. Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 6.
Isaiah chapter 47, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 6. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted my inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid the yoke.
All right, cool. Read verse 1. Then we'll jump down.
Isaiah chapter 47, verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate.
Right, so it says, this is the instructions from the Most High to, as it says, to the virgin daughter of Babylon. We know in Psalms it tells you that the virgin daughter of Babylon is referring to Esau. It's referring to Edom, the nation of Edom. So this is a prophecy that was given to them back during the time of Isaiah. It says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Again, referring to Edom, so-called white man. It says, sit on the ground. There is no throne. That at one time, or the time is going to come, that the Edomites are going to be on top of everything. They was going to be on the, be in the throne. They was going to have their time of rulership. But this is a prophecy referring to when their rulership would be brought down. And it refers to them as the daughter of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were known for being magicians. The Chaldeans were known for being dealing with magic, if you will. And that's what America is known for the technology that comes from America. It says, for thou shalt no one be called tender and delicate. At one time, America was like a virgin, if you will, untouched. That since America had been founded as a nation, after the War of Independence from England, then after the War of 1812, the French and Indian War, and then the War of the West, the Spanish-American War, that once America finally got established after those three wars, after those three events, that there's not been any warfare that America ever fought on the shores of America, within the country of America. The closest that it came was when the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor. But as far as the continental United States, there had been no wars that America's fought with any other country, with Vietnam, Korea, Japan, Germany, Afghanistan, whoever. No warfare has actually ever reached the Americas. All right, but then the time was going to come, like it was said in prophesied in Obadiah, that the nations is going to come to the point where they're going to start to attack America, attack this virgin, and start to touch her. All right, but jump down to verse 7 now.
And thou saidest.
Okay, Isaiah chapter 47, verse. For as long as we've been having class, how many times do I keep saying, repeat the chapter and verse that we had?
Isaiah chapter 47, verse 7.
Verse 6.
I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance.
And the Most High is explaining to Esau, to Edom, that the Most High was upset with us. And the key word I want to key in on here is, as I have polluted mine inheritance. What we had to realize is that our minds have been dirty. Our spirits, our morals, our ethics have been dirtied from being here under the rulership of Caucasian people. That our minds really are corrupted. Our minds have been thwarted. Our minds are amiss when it comes to what is right in the eyes of God and what is wrong in the eyes of God. We really have no idea what God calls an abomination. And again, knowing that the word abomination means something that upsets God to the point of making him sick. When you deal with something that's an abomination, it's something that makes you want to vomit. It's something that makes you're so disgusted by it, you can't stand to look at it or even consider or think about it. And one thing that we have not learned is the things that are abominable to God. On a very basic, simple first level of coming to the knowledge, finding out that swine, the eating of swine, is an abomination to God. It's like if you was to see somebody, you saw a Great Dane taking a dump in the yard, and if you went out there, got a plate and a fork, a knife, put the napkin under your chin, and start to consume that big, heaping, massive pile of dog dung, hopefully that would make you sick, even to think about or to picture something like that happening. Well, when we eat swine, that's the same type of reaction that God has when we eat swine or catfish or shrimp or lobster. But from being here under the hand of the so-called white man in this Caucasian rural society, pork tenderloin is the other white meat. Lobster tails, crab legs is a delicacy. The eating of snails, escargot, you've now made it. You've now achieved. Not realizing that these things have polluted us. You know, we think, and looking or thinking like the so-called white man, that these are things that have a badge of honor. And thinking like the so-called white man, that you've now made it. And just on a basic dietary level, that we've been polluted in that the things that we've come to enjoy, the things that we call good, the Most High cannot stand. So we've been polluted because we've been in the hands of the so-called white man. We can read again from the top.
Isaiah chapter 47, verse 1.
Verse 6.
I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand.
And we were given into the hand of Caucasians. Read.
Thou didst show them no mercy.
And we weren't shown any mercy. All right, we weren't shown any mercy from the occupation of Spanish Caucasians, during the time of Columbus, back in 1492, all the way up through present. We have not been shown any mercy from the Caucasian occupation of the Americas. They've shown us no mercy. Read. From the taking of the continent of the Americas, all the way up through the present Black Lives Matter campaign, to the most recent thing up there in the Dakotas, where the white man was again trading on sacred Indian ground, so to be protected by the federal government in Indian ground, and not one president, Barack Obama or Trump, has done anything to stop that or bring about any justice. It says, thou didst show them no mercy. And upon the ancient hast thou very, very heavily laid thy yoke, that they burdened us with their philosophies, their religion, their education, their morals, their standards, their sense of ethics. And our minds have been polluted because of this. Our minds have been corrupted. As we're coming up into another election time here in November, our people really believe that voting is going to bring us salvation. We've totally forgotten that the Most High brought us to the Americas for our punishment. And we really have this mindset that we're supposed to make the best out of America. That we're supposed to find heaven and solitude here in America. And again, I don't understand, for anybody who's been studying, why were we kicked out of the land of Israel in the first place?
It was because we, the truth of the matter was that because we were so, I guess the word would be, so much burden was put on us to where we couldn't even think about serving the Most High the way that he wanted us to serve him. That's what happened in Egypt. That's when they were like, you know what? These people who we've been out over, they keep on multiplying. They keep on getting more and more. And now this guy's coming who's trying to take them to make them worship their God. He's like, we can't have that. Because if that happens, you know, then we're going to lose our workforce, and we're going to have to do stuff. So they put more burdens upon us to keep us sorely occupied so that we couldn't have the time to get back to the proper way to serve the Most High like he wanted us to. That's why he sent Moses.
Sure, that was Egypt, but I was asking about why were we kicked out of Israel?
Oh, but that's
why were we kicked out of Israel in the first place? It was said through the scriptures that we got this plan that we was going to go to a further place where never mankind ever dwelt, and that there we would serve the Most High. Even though we didn't serve the Most High in the promised land, that now that we're in a whole other land, that now we're going to serve the Most High in a whole other land. No. The Most High did not bring us here for our benefit. We didn't come to the Americas for our comfort. Matter of fact, the scripture says, arise and depart, this is not your rest. It is polluted. Can we get that real quick? Now, this is not quoted. It's Micah 4:10, I think. Is it Micah 4:10 or 7:10? Arise, depart, this is not your rest.
It's Micah chapter 2 and verse 10.
2 and 10. Now, here in Isaiah 47 and 6, we read what? I was wroth with my people, I have polluted mine inheritance. Did we not read that? So now, what does Micah 2 and 10 tell us?
Micah chapter 2 and 10 says, arise ye and depart, but this is not your rest because it is polluted.
Okay, can somebody help me with the correlation or the bridge of how these two fit together? Just make sure I'm not tripping.
Well, no. It is from Isaiah 47 and 6. It says, I was walking my people. I have polluted my inheritance. And now right here, what has been the thing that's polluted us? All these other influences, all these other things we got caught up to or caught into. And right now when it comes, it's talking about here in Micah chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, what place has been given us or been the greatest influence over us as opposed to the Most High? American society, from slavery to, what is it, the NAACP, we want equal rights as you, all this stuff. Those things have polluted us from following and serving the Heavenly Father. That's why it says now in Micah chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, arise and depart, for this is not your rest. Now, because now we've achieved those things in society, it's not supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be good now. I'm on the same level as the white man. I can hold a job like him. I can buy a house like him. Those things are what polluted us. So now, for those things that you fought for that weren't the Most High, you would think that you would be like, okay, I've attained it. I've made it. But the Most High has to come back and let us know, no, you haven't. This is not your rest because this is not what I wanted you to focus on in the first way. The one thing that I wanted you to focus on was what? Coming back and my words. Coming back and serving me the way that I was supposed to be served. Because I'm your God and you are my people.
Yeah, just this is not your rest, meaning like the ideology that, you know, I have achieved, I have achieved the American dream. You know, I got my own business, I'm financially independent, I'm successful, I can travel the world, I can take my family here and there, or I got the white picket fence. You know, the 2.6, you know, 2.6 children, and whatever it is, the standard of the American dream is supposed to be. The Most High has come back letting us know, no, this is not what was meant for you. This is not where your success, where your true success was supposed to lie. This is not what you were supposed to attain or achieve. This is not the goal that you were supposed to be looking at. This is not your rest. This is not some place you were supposed to ever get comfortable. This was the place, again, like Meshava brought out, this was the place of your punishment. This is where you were supposed to be uncomfortable so that you can think about what you did to get yourself in this position in the first place. This was supposed to be the Americas where we're at, where we were brought to in our captivity. This is where we were supposed to think about what we did, what where we went off, what we did wrong, and start to return to the Most High and get things back right in our lives as a people, as a nation, not as individual families, but as a nation. Because in America, all you really see is individual families focused on themselves, focused, on their own individual successes. And then when we do that, the messed up thing about that is we start looking down at others of our people, our nation, our brothers and sisters. We have the nerve to look down our nose at them like we've achieved something and you haven't. So, you know, we look down at them instead of wanting to help them out, instead of wanting to pass something on to them and think about the rest of our people. We get high-minded. We get wrapped up in ourselves. Like, you know, I've achieved the standard of the so-called white man, and you haven't, so I'm better than you. So we look down at our own people. But that's never what the Most High wanted for us. The Most High wanted us as a nation. He doesn't deal with individuals. He's dealing with the nation. The entire nation got punished. And the entire nation is supposed to be coming out of that punishment. And the entire nation is supposed to be coming back into power, rulership, and authority. The entire nation is supposed to come back to prosperity and success. And this is the only way we do it, is by the entire nation returning back to the Most High in Christ and realizing that that's where we went off, as a nation, not as individual families or as individuals, period.
Right. So did we finish that scripture?
Good. That was and that was off of bridging the gap between Isaiah 47:6 to Micah chapter 2:10, where it talks about arise and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted and it shall destroy you.
And what have we been destroyed for?
The lack of knowledge of the Most High. The lack of knowledge of knowing who we are as a people and knowing how we're supposed to serve the Heavenly Father.
Right, can we read Micah 2:10 again?
Micah chapter 2:10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Because
so it says again, like the brothers was bringing out, it's not our rest. And we see how many of us have worn ourselves out trying to seek and chase and achieve the American dream. How many of us have gone really out of our wits to achieve the perfect credit score, to achieve the status quo of I'm a good American. I moved out of the ghettos and the slums, and now I live in a gated community. And if I didn't have time to read the Bible, cool. I didn't have time to read the Bible because I got to get me and my family out of this situation. I got to get my mama a house out the ghetto. I got to get my mama a house out the hood, out the barrio, off the reservation.
Away from the South Valley or Southwest Valley. Those will be the bad parts, from the sticks, from the Kirk, from the war zone that we can relate to here in Albuquerque.
That I got to achieve, I got to make it, I got to be somebody. We've wore ourselves out trying to chase what's supposed to be happiness. What's supposed to, again, be the American dream, the American standard. So if I don't have time for the Bible, if I don't have time for this, then the fact that I just sent a prayer up, that's supposed to be enough for me and my relationship with the Heavenly Father, is because I sent a prayer up. It's supposed to be enough that I don't have time to study the Bible because I got to go to school. I have to go to college so I can get this degree, so I can get a good job, so I can be comfortable. How many people make this statement? I don't want to be rich. I just want to be comfortable. I don't want a whole lot of money, like the mega the lottery right now. Unless somebody, they don't find the winning lottery ticket numbers. Last time we checked, it was $1.6 billion. I don't want to be rich. I just want to be comfortable. I just want to be able to pay my bills. And if, what people think like that, if that's not a slave, I just want to be able to pay my bills.
Man, how's the standard gone so damn low?
I just want to pay my bills. Man. When we were in Israel, what bills did we have?
We didn't. That was not a worry. Yeah.
When we were in the promised land that the Father gave our foreparents, what bills did we have? What EBT cards did we need? What food stamps were we can't wait? It's the first of the month. I need a job with benefits. That's a good job. But in chasing this, let me go after these things where now I'm not doing those things that please the Father. I'm not chasing what pleases God. I'm chasing what where I can be comfortable in this society. So, Micah 2:10 says what?
Micah chapter 2:10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest.
This is not our rest. The Most High didn't bring us here to get comfortable. Arise and depart. This is not your rest. This is not the place that a father would want his children to be raised in. When I say I'm referring to the Heavenly Father being our Father and us being his children. He did not have us come here for our rest. That this is the place he wants us to be comfortable in. You know, it's scary when you read the scripture. It says, woe to them that are rich, for they receive their reward. If you're comfortable here in America, why would you want to leave? You understand that when so-called celebrities come out their mouth with America is the greatest country on the planet. Who would say that? Unless they're comfortable in this place. They've made it. They've achieved. That's utterly ridiculous. Arise and depart. This is not your rest. Read.
Because it is polluted.
This place is polluted. It's got you polluted against God. Read.
It shall destroy you.
And again, this place shall do what?
Destroy you.
And we are destroyed as a people. But now, if we hold this, and somebody got Hosea 4 and 6. What about us is destroyed? Holding Micah 2 and 10, please, and getting Hosea.
Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
So why are we destroyed for lack of knowledge? Because we've been here in the hands of the so-called white man. Learning his value system, his ethics, his morals, his everything. And we've made his way of living the standard for living. But now it's done what to us as a people? It's destroyed us for lack of knowledge. Now we don't have God's knowledge. We really think or believe that God is with us. It says we think that gain is godliness. And the more I gain in this society, God must be with me. Donald Trump is a multi-billionaire. Is God with him? Is that how we're supposed to measure if God is with somebody by how much money they have? Bruce Jenner, who had a sex change operation, he's a multi-millionaire. Is God with him? Kim Kardashian is a whore, but a millionaire. Is God with her? All these rappers and artists with entertainers with tattoos all over their bodies. Is God with them? Is that the standard? That if you have money in this society, that means God is with you? And again, the scripture that says, I guess we're about to get up out of here. The scripture that says, God only chastises the ones he loves. Where does that scripture fit into place? That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. I don't want it right now. Where does that scripture fit into place if it's about how much you keep gaining means God is with you? Is that not the so-called white man's philosophy? The so-called white man, God bless America. Because of all that America has going on. Is that not the white man's mentality? And have you adopted that mentality? Is that in your spirit? Real quick, give me a 1 John 2 and 10.
1 John chapter 2.
Ahmad, were you going to drop Isaiah off or was I going to drop him off?
Isaiah
I got to go, so he's got to stay. I don't know if he needs to go or...
All right, it's all good. I'll jump off.
You got a bus pass. It's the nearest bus stop.
First John, chapter 2 and verse 10. He that loveth his brother...
First John, that's 2 and 10?
John, First John, chapter 2, verse 10.
I want level 15 then.
Nine. First John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Read.
For all that is in the world.
For all that is in the world. If you love these things, then you don't have the love of God if you love these things. Read.
The lust of the flesh.
The lust of the flesh. Read.
And the lust of the eyes.
And the lust of the eyes, that whatever you see, you want, you desire. Read.
And the pride of life.
And the pride of life. Look at how I'm living. Bling, bling. Throw in the bag. The pride of life. I don't live in the ghetto no more. I don't live in the slums no more. I got me a 5,000 square foot home. I got me a Maybach. I drive Cadillacs. And how could God not be with me? Look at what I possess. Is it that? What God gave the Hebrew Israelites for us to acknowledge and know that he's with us? And all the signs that that's how a man's supposed to know that God's with me because look at what I got. So that you can have the pride of life. He said, if you have that type of mindset, you don't have the love of God in you. That's the love he's talking about. So it's going on 10:30 right now. I'm not going to leave it. Maybe next class on Thursday. This is Tuesday, right?
Yes, sir.
Maybe our next class on Thursday, we might get into the baptism. And go over it. And understand that, yes, a lot of Christians in a lot of religions, different denominations, they say if you're not baptized, you can't be saved. Which technically in itself is a true statement. If you're not baptized, you're not going to be saved. But is the baptism that Christ is talking about the water baptism or the baptizing of your mind, the washing of your mind? As a matter of fact, that is what we're going to on Thursday. Now, that is what we're going to on Thursday. Somebody, anything you want to bring out in any or anything as we these last few minutes we have?
Well, what you were saying, like, one of the things that is polluted us is that it's coming in the next, what's today, the 23rd? Is it 23rd now?
Mm-hmm.
So in 8 days, one of the biggest pollutings that parents have been indoctrinated into that they teach their kids is the pagan holiday of Halloween. It's not even in the scriptures. So this is one of those things that is like when people try to justify it's for the kids, you know, so the kids can have this and this and this. But no, brother. This pagan holiday that's coming up is one of those things that what is polluting us and keeping us from getting closer to the Heavenly Father. You know what I'm saying? When you make excuses like it's just for the kids, or you know, or I'm still caught in that tradition of man because it's been going on since I've been around for these 41 years of my life. You know, I just can't stop it. You know what I'm saying? But that's another thing that just goes into showing you how this country, I just don't think I should call it, is going to continue to try to systematically keep us polluted so that we don't get back to the knowledge and understanding of the Heavenly Father.
What you're saying that somebody gets 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4.
Third John chapter 1 and verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
All right, so the Father says what now?
I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
So what's the greatest joy the Most High has got?
That he hears that his children are walking in truth.
That the children are walking in truth. So I just want to bring that scripture out behind what you were saying, behind the mentality that a lot of people have, that like Halloween, they're dressing up as ghouls, goblins, or what have you, and these all these different other images, that the Most High says the joy he has is that our children are walking in truth. So as much as we do have that mentality, it's for the kids. It's for the kids. What has the Father specified he wants his kids to walk in?
The truth.
The truth. Right? The truth. So with that, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. For everybody who did tune in, I'm seeing the call blog here on, for Blog Talk. For those that called in, that did call in, I want to thank everybody who did call in. Today, the list is pretty long. Right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And again, if you missed any part of the show, you can log on to blogtalkradio.com. I'm going to say that one more time. If you did miss any part of the show, you can log on to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, and go to the search box. They have a search box there, and type in the word Meshaba, my name being Meshaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. The search word Meshaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, and it'll bring you to a list of episodes. And they're done in chronological order. And if any part of this class that you missed, or you're like catching another class that we've done, you log on there, and unless you download the show, you won't be able to fast forward or rewind. All right? And if a phone call comes, you listen to it on your phone, then it's going to start the whole thing over unless you go ahead and download the episode and then come back and delete it after you listen to it. If that's the case. But you can listen to it or stream it at your convenience, when have you, and you'll be able to catch up with this show and keep up with it. Tonight, I invite you, this being Tuesday, if you happen to be in the San Antonio area, tonight and Tuesday at the school at 4219 Syndicate Drive, the Brother of War is supposed to have a class, teach the class tonight at in San Antonio. Located at our school at 4219 Syndicate Drive. They're in San Antonio, Texas. And the class time is 7 p.m. Local time there in San Antonio from 7 to 10. We invite you to check them out as they're going over the scriptures also. For your convenience also, if you log on to the YouTube and go to the YouTube channel ISBHPK Live. Go to the YouTube channel ISBHPK Live at 7 p.m. again, Central Standard Time there in Houston, Texas, and you watch the brothers live broadcast. The brothers Thawam, Kazakia, Kwatazap, Thawam, and Zion Allah. We invite you to go check them out tonight live on YouTube, or visit their school at 8524 South Brazewood Boulevard there in Houston, Texas. All right. With that, our next Blog Talk broadcast will be on Thursday at 9 a.m. Albuquerque time. 9 a.m. Albuquerque time. If you have any questions that you like for us to go over, or any topics you'd like for us to cover, please text me. Right? Please send me a text. Don't call because I ain't going to pick your phone up. I'll tell you that right now. Text me at area code 210-784-8463. Send me a text at area code 210-784-8463. I'd be more than happy to cover your questions or topics, what have you, on any one of our broadcasts that's coming up. So with that, my name is Meshaba.
Shalom.
Yeshaiah.
And for the brothers, Yonathan, Ahmad, and Gabar, we'd like to thank y'all for tuning in. And with that, we're going to say shalom.
Shalom.